Yeah, how are we doing? All good. I've got time to ask you my other one. So, because I was in, that, it kind of ties in with what I was interested with you, because I, so we both got involved roughly the same time, and then we were around here for about 10 years working alongside each other, teaching here at this class for ages together. When we were in our, well, I guess our 20s and early 30s. And then I went off to the Buddhist Centre in Ireland, the Dublin Buddhist Centre, to help there. So I was away for 9 or 10 years, and I came back and you were still here. Like, still teaching the class, still living upstairs in the community.
Yeah.
And I just thought, that's, to me, I'm fascinated by that, because it's quite rare in this day and age, and apart from people who live in, you know, a sort of sexual relationship couple or who live in a family, to live with the same, I mean, you've lived with a lot of the same people for many, many years and you've worked in the same place. And so I just wonder, what's that been like? And do you ever kind of have a, want to do a bid for freedom or?
Yeah. Get me out of here.
How do you kind of, you know, because you seem quite fresh, you seem to come to it quite fresh.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, in a way, I, the other day I was thinking, oh, my life, I'm just like my family. Yeah. So with my parents, used to own, well, they still own a coach firm. We used to do coach firms and taxis and lorries. And we lived on the business, and coach drivers would come in for breakfast and have great big bits of toast.
Yeah.
And, yeah, they were a small business and running their own business.
Yeah.
And suddenly, I was living above the Buddhist Centre, sort of trying to run the place. You know, so it might just be genes. But I have, yeah, I've been here, I got involved. I think I moved into the community above here just about 23 years ago, 24 years ago. So for instance, I've lived with Parabandhu 24 years.
Yes.
Parabandhu, is he here?
No.
Oh, no, he's teaching. Anyway, I've lived with Parabandhu for 24 years. I've lived with Yama Varcha for 13 or 14 years. Mm. I've lived with Maitreya Raja for about the same time. I share a bunk bed, or at least at the moment I have a room to myself, but for the last 10 or 15 years I've shared a bunk bed. I usually go on the top, because I'm taller than the person who sleeps on the bunk. So I've lived communally all that time, all on this premises. Yeah. And when I first started, I first started working because I was an artist in residence and a boys' Catholic school in Dagenham. Okay. And someone suggested I become the cleaner here at the centre. Yeah. It was like after the revolution, you know, I'd gone from artist to cleaner. And yeah, I started off just being a cleaner at the centre here for quite a few years, and then I've just carried on here. But I don't quite understand it. I just seem to be a sort of regular guy in a certain sort of way. Yeah. You know, I've just carried on living here. I think partly my instinct is that I always want to go deeper in something rather than see more of something. And I noticed this even when I was painting. I still paint occasionally, I don't much anymore, but I tend to paint the same thing again and again. Like I've painted the same group of trees again and again and again and again. And my instinct is to want to understand it more and more deeply rather than go and find another. I'm not interested in vistas in a certain sort of way. It's not quite true, but in a certain sort of way. Mm. I want to go into something very, very deeply. Mm. And, you know, I can't, you know, I go somewhere else and I'm just I'm the same person.
Mm.
You know, it's that awful disappointment when you go on holiday and then you go to Marbella or something. You get off and then you think, oh no, it's you again. You rather hoped you'd left you behind. And the person standing on the tarmac, it's just you again. You may as well be in Coventry. where I used to live. So I think for me there is something about, the job of spiritual life is very obvious. You need to cultivate positive mental states. And then from positive mental states, you need to try to see the nature of reality.
Yeah.
There's an awful lot of work to be doing in that. You need to be mindful, you need to cultivate positive mental states, then you need to see how things really are. That is, I believe that is the human task. That's what we mean by being human, is someone who's mindful, aware of actually living, actually in a positive mental state, and able to abide in positive mental states. Much, much more difficult than it sounds. All right when you're having a cup of tea and a coffee with someone, but over many years it's much more difficult, and then you try to see through to the nature of reality. I don't see that going anywhere else is going to make it more likely to experience that. I mean, at the same time, I seem to like to concern myself with a particular field, so I've been particularly concerned with this centre. I have got concerns with other centres now, but most particularly this centre. Yeah, but the job is just there, isn't it? And I've always gone on retreats. I always, you know, I live here, I teach here. And for me, teaching is one of the best things I do, one of the things I most enjoy doing. It's one of the things I most experience my values being sort of coming back at me. And I can never see why people get tired of teaching, because you're never just teaching, you're teaching individual people, and they're always different, and you're always different, and I'm trying to take my practice deeper, and they're trying to take their practice deeper. How could you get bored of that, you know? The practices of Buddhism, and even things like mindfulness of breathing, there's endless depth to them. There isn't a sort of stopping place. It's not like learning to ride a bike. I think my instinct is, if I can't, you know, I'm in a nice place, I'm in a good place. If I can't do it here, I probably can't do it anywhere. I do that when I go on, you know, I go on a retreat, I go on a solitary retreat, and I tend not to go anywhere. I just, once I get there, you know, I've got this beautiful view. Why go and find another beautiful view? So how about we actually try and really experience this one very, very deeply indeed? And I think, I suppose I felt the same about my friends. I don't think that friendship is something you can rush. You know, like Paramabandhu. I mean, I've been friends with him for so long, since I was 23. I'm 49 now. That's much longer than many marriages. I know him in a way that's very, very difficult to explain. It's like there's a sort of osmosis between us. Same with the Honourable Archer, same with you as well. You know, we've known each other in so many different situations. We've been on retreat together, we've argued together, we've had a laugh together. You just can't push the pace of that. Friendship grows so slowly and so naturally that and such a rare thing. People are so keen to move about, and obviously it's much easier to put all your eggs in the sort of romantic basket. You know, and you can't help but want to put one or two in there, can you? But putting your all putting all of them is a bit silly, you know. So I think I have really, I think friendship for me has been extremely important. And sometimes my friends will be able to, you know, sort of kick the fence down when I want to put it up. And I think that's important. So let's finish with one or two last things. What could we ask you for the last thing, I wonder?